Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, fast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at Sierra.com.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Good evening, everybody. This is a Warriors plus minus lose in LA version on a last shot. Jimmy Butler got the shot off, did not go. I am here with someone who was there, the San Francisco Standard's only Danny Emmerman. Danny, a lot of hell was going on there in the fourth quarter. We got an ejection by Steve Kerr. We had Steph Curry light it up to bring him back. They were like down 9 pretty late. A little flurry there after nobody shot well the first three quarters plus. And then Steph Curry fouls out. And then the Warriors still come back, get one shot to do it. Give me the Danny Emmerman highlights. Well, are you here just to make sure Steve Kerr doesn't get fined? We did get Terry Stotts was on the podium. He was kind of funny.
Yeah, he was funny. I am here. I can confirm that I am here. A lot happened. Steph Curry's first ejection in 5 years.
Not ejection.
First time he fouled out in 5 years. And he joked that he said, you know, I guess I won't do that again for the rest of my career. So he won't play another 5 years.
Oh, no, wait a minute. That's the headline there, Danny. We got to go to the headline.
You heard it here first.
I will retire by 2022 or whatever. 2032, if I can do the math there.
Yeah, Steph Curry fouled out late. Steve Kerr ejected. He was heated. He was heated at both a missed goaltending call that the referees confirmed that they got wrong. And right before that, it was Steph Curry not getting a continuation. I couldn't believe it in the moment. You saw Steph jumping up and down. Mm-hmm. Not only was the call late, but they waited for the ball to go in after they called it to only wave it off, which they never do. And in the pool report, they said that they actually made the right call there, that the foul occurred before Steph's shot went up. I don't know about all that. Steph was pissed. That was like an 8-point swing. Because John Collins hit a three right after.
I don't believe in that because that play would have happened anyway, right? It doesn't erase all the things that happened afterwards. I know what you're saying. It was a huge swing because not only do you not get the goaltend, not only do you not get the continuation, you get the two technical fouls on Kerr. Now, they missed one of them, but it's still a big swing in a game that came down to 1 point. And I'll have to agree that I do think that the correct call, I mean, I don't even know if that was a foul at all. What happened is Steph got past the defender and then maybe a touch and they blow the whistle. This is weird. You know, maybe you could have just let the play go on and count the basket. That's not going to be a playoff crew. We'll put it that way.
No.
I do not like talking about the officials very much. I know Warriors fans do it all the time. That was not a good officiating crew. And the goaltend was really bad. That was really, really, really bad. I think there's some building frustration. I think there's building frustration on Steph not getting those continuation calls for the last several weeks, I think.
You know,
Kawhi did not get a continuation earlier tonight. There's other times I think that is kind of an emphasis. But, yeah, you're Steph Curry. You're moving through the lane. You're probably going to put the shot up. You know, you're not just trying to draw the foul. I get all that. But then it comes down to the very end. The Warriors make this violent comeback. They start pressuring the ball all over the place, which they'd been getting turnovers throughout. Comes down to the final play. What did you think about that final play? Was there a way that they could have done better or just happened that Jimmy got a shot and he couldn't make it?
No, well, it was more or less what Terry Stotts drew up in the huddle. And I thought it was a pretty good look. I think the key on that play was getting Kawhi switched off Jimmy Butler. Butler had Nick Batum on him in the post. He really didn't want to go at Kawhi. tonight when he had matched up on the perimeter. Kawhi's an excellent defender. And Jimmy is really, really good at picking his mismatches and attacking them. Batum was one that, you know, you'd think he has an advantage. I thought the look was fine. I've seen Jimmy make that shot 100 times in warmups, but that's warmups. And this was with the game on the line. And it was not pretty. He airballed it. You know, they had guys crashing to the rim in case of a putback attempt. They only needed 1 point to tie. They could have drew a foul. I thought it was a good play. It didn't work out. Maybe if Butler's shot grazes rim, they have a better chance at an offensive rebound.
Yes, but that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I think they were set up. They had three guys with a chance to get the rebound. It just went airball when they all missed it. Understandable. It's hard to get an airball when you're just crashing for any kind of rebound. But yeah, what happened was Batum's on Jimmy, and then Kawhi just stands behind him and goes, if you're going to try to drive, you're going to have to get past Batum and me. So yeah. I understand, you know, I know the inclination is, why doesn't Jimmy just put his head down to get to the rim, get a foul, maybe kick out to somebody standing still, but not with both those guys. Like, and that's the problem. And I said, you know, maybe not have Draymond in there or Gee, because they really weren't guarding either one of them. But then that meant that they could crash. So if that was the idea of having those guys in, I get it. Like, I thought maybe put Buddy Hield in, maybe, you know, who hadn't played all game. You know,
he hadn't played all game.
Yeah, there's various other things you could have done on that one. But I get it. The ball just ticks off the back of the rim. It goes right to Pajemski or Santos, or it ticks off the front. It goes to Draymond. They put it back. You win the game. Terry Stotts is a hero. So that part I get.
So they had 7 seconds left, 6.9 seconds left, down 1 point. Let's say they're in that same situation, 7 seconds left, but they're down three. Who do you draw up the play for?
With Steph fouled out
and the team hadn't hit a three all night. They have their worst shooting performance all season. Buddy Hield is ice cold. He hasn't played all game.
You have to put Buddy in the game, right? You have to put him in the game. I imagine you put in Horford and you put in – you don't have Draymond in the game at that point. You just don't have him in the game. Then Santos hit a three, I guess. Melton hit a three.
You
kind of have to do it that way. But then you're probably getting fouled anyway, probably. And they're going to play it that game without Steph. There was just going to be very little answers, right? You know, Steph fouling out, and he did not have to take that foul. It was a reaction foul. A ball comes off the rim, bounces around, gets to a Clipper. He just decided it was, I think it was, who was it? It was a Dunn, I think. And he just tries to reach for the ball. But you got five fouls, you're Steph Curry. You're really, really important on this other side. Maybe don't do that. But again, it's a reaction. It's in the heat of the moment. Very tough for them to get offense when that's not Steph Curry. I think that's the major theme of this game. No James Harden. So it was going to be a defensive game. And we know the Warriors are not a very good offensive team. They're a pretty good defensive team. The Clippers can be a very good defensive team. It was going to be one of those games. That's what the Clippers wanted. Until the end, the Warriors could not make a shot. Now, some of them were just open shots. Some of them were pressured by the Clippers. But this is the overarching theme, I think, is how are they getting offense? How are they going to do this? I think, you know, the idea, obviously, is to have Moses Moody and Brandon Pajemski and Quinton Post and Horford maybe get some secondary scoring. Did not happen tonight. Really did not. Will Richard, zero, don't it? Moody, Pajemski, Post, all in the 5-4 point range. They got to do this, but, I mean, are there adjustments they can make? How do they get out of this sort of offensive middle ground that they're in?
I think that's probably the biggest question of the season. I wouldn't necessarily pin it on tonight, though. I thought they got good looks tonight, and they just didn't go in for the most part.
But that's part of the problem.
That's part of the problem. So is the answer get better players who make more shots? Maybe. But this is a team who's like their average three-point percentage is 36%. It's about league average. They have a decent three-point shooting team. Tonight they shot 24%, a season low. It's going to be really tough to win games like that. And they played well tonight. I do think they generate a lot of good looks. They forced 20 turnovers, and they only committed 7.
Yep.
You know, they should win every game.
They swarmed
with a disparity
Kawhi.
Like that.
They swarmed.
They doubled Kawhi off the catch. They had 18 steals, so those are live ball turnovers. I think they could have done a better job getting out in transition and getting easier looks. That's probably an area where they'll look at the film and say, hey, these are easy scoring opportunities for us. When we're not shooting well, we need to be more aggressive in transition. But no, I mean, when you have 18 steals in a game, that's one that you've got to come home with a W.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you don't turn it over yourself. That's the other thing. Like there was an efficiency there in every category for them, except for putting the ball in the basket. But I don't think that's a one-off though. They got some guys who struggle to put the ball in the basket. Moses has struggled for a while now. I know did he break his 3-point streak? I know they were talking about it a lot. Moses Moody does not make a 3-pointer. So that breaks it, which I thought it was like one a game for the last, whatever amount of games.
Right.
That was not going to continue. And he does not look good shooting the ball. I think you've mentioned he does not look confident shooting the ball. Doesn't look confident with the ball. He played great defense today.
I thought he played awesome defensively.
Great defense. Now, this guy can make a long career if he just plays defense like that and hits shots at a decent rate. He's not hitting, really doing that. They didn't play him down the stretch. Terry Stotts did not play him. Steve has not been playing him down the stretch sometimes, too. Did not play Pajemski down the stretch. It was Melton and Guy Santos, and you understood 100% of why that happened. Santos only plays in the fourth quarter, and he's all over the place.
He plays almost the entire fourth quarter.
Making a bucket. He's just doing the Guy Santos stuff that Steve Kerr loves, and I would guess Terry Stotts love. I could say you were joking to me on the text. This is where Terry Stotts goes with the Kuminga offense. Just put him in there. You're the head coach. I pretty much knew that was not going to – you probably knew it. That is not where they're at.
That would have been the plot twist for the ages.
It would have been funny. It is just – it's going to be Guy Santos or Gary Payton II, who scores a bunch of buckets.
Yeah, he's had a nice month. Really solid month.
When those are the guys who are creating your offense. That's not the way this is supposed to work. It's supposed to be Melton, Horford, Post – even Draymond, who does not score a ton tonight. I think he scored 2 or 4 points, something like that. You got to get 12 from one of those guys. You got to do what Kobe Sanders did, who doesn't score a lot, but I've been impressed with him when I've seen him in the past. Like, he's a big body who can get to spots. Who do the Warriors have who can do that, who can get to spots and make a shot? 3-0, and then I don't know who they've got. That's the problem with this team.
They got Jimmy Butler.
Those two guys. My bad. Yeah, those two guys.
On Moses Moody, do you think he still belongs in the starting lineup?
I think ideally he would not be in the starting lineup. I understand why he's there because he does spread the floor. When he's shooting the ball well, he's a big help because he can defend. But he's not a stopper on defense. He's good. He's not a stopper, and he's not making the shots. When he plus Draymond, and if Post is not hitting shots, that really drags down that starting lineup. You've written about it. That starting lineup has not generated a great number for them. I don't know who I'd put in their form because I guess I would say Melton for him, but then that really increases Melton's minutes, increases exposure. Maybe he's just better as a sixth, seventh man, but I don't know who you put in there for Moody. I just think they've got to turn Kuminga into the guy who's better than Moody. That moves Moody down the rotation. I just don't know. I mean, do you have a candidate for someone who could move into that spot?
No, we could run through them. It's first of all, the Warriors really like this alignment right now. They're really comfortable with it. The players like it. Steve is comfortable with the continuity of it. He thinks that's important to have a set lineup, even if people on Twitter might not think he does.
Oh, come on. You have to listen to the people on Twitter. You must do that.
They like it, and they like it because it sets the rotation behind it. So they like being able to get to the closing lineup of the big three plus Melton and Richard. And they like how divided it is after, where they could run Steph and Draymond units and then Jimmy and shooting units off of it. And I think conceptually it makes sense. But it's been a month of this at this point, and they entered tonight minus 2.9 net together. Like, at some point, you have to try something new if it's going to be a large enough sample size of it not working. And, you're not going to take Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, or Draymond Green out of the starting lineup. And Quentin Post and Draymond Green has been, a powerful combination. That is one of the duos that they are really confident in and they really believe in because it limits Draymond's exposure physically. So it comes down to Moses Moody's spot. And does Brandon Pajemski make himself more of a viable candidate for it? Can D'Anthony Melton up his minutes limit I don't really know. If he doesn't, can you game it out so he plays the first 4 minutes of each of the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then the last, you know, 6-7 minutes of the game? I don't know. That's kind of tough. Those are really long breaks. So I'm not sure. I think right now Moses Moody kind of has it by default. In addition, and I shouldn't say that, he has it by default because nobody else has
option. Yeah, default's the right word. It's the right word. It is the right
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
On the other hand, like, he is their best perimeter defender, and that is a skill that they need in the starting lineup, for sure.
That's why Pajemski's not in that slot. I think if Steve was going to make a change at that spot, it'd be Gary Payton second, because for the defense first, Kurt does think defense first in a lot of times. That's why Draymond's out there. And, you know, I don't know how you can – that's a great alternative, it'd probably be the one that Kerr would go to. I don't think he's going to go to. I think the switch happens when and if they make the trade for someone who's better. Can Kuminga turn into that? He's not going to turn into that as a player. That decision's been made. We can talk about it. He should have been or could have been, or they hoped he was going to be that guy who can carry an offense for, you know, 10 minutes at a time when other people can't shoot. That's gone. That's not happening. Clearly, he's out of whether he's fully ever out of the rotation. Steve might put him back in there. He's out of their minds.
The ship has sailed. The guys in that locker room fully understand that the ship has sailed, and they all know what January 15th means.
Can you turn that into someone who can be that guy? That's where I think that could really have ripple effects down the line. Because you get Moody to a secondary role. He's not as exposed. He's not playing against the best players on the other team. Maybe he's a little looser, can take some shots, make some shots. His defense would show up big time, you know, if he's guarding, you know, the sixth man of the other team, not the number one guy. I just think there would be an interesting ripple effect from there if you get that guy. Can you get, you know, and who's that guy? Trey Murphy is the one we keep saying. That might be too much. You know, I don't know that they can do it. But, you know, DeMar DeRozan's probably too old in their minds, but a DeMar DeRozan type would be really interesting for them. Don't know who that is. Would they even want DeMar DeRozan? It's kind of an older player, expensive player. But that's where I can really see, like, you know, I hear all this doom and gloom. I understand it. We'll have to react to it. Everything's existential for this team, no question. But one little flip, I think. They win this game. They probably should have won this game anyway, but they win maybe three others, and all of a sudden they're sitting at, 21 wins, and they're right in there with Phoenix for the 6-7 seed. It's a different conversation, and they can do this. They can also screw up. We know that, but that's the piece that I think they're really missing. The guy who can go get some shots, you know, just do what Kobe Sanders did today. And you wouldn't even thought Kobe Sanders could do it, but he has the athletic ability to do it. Warriors just are lacking that. And there's also the Draymond question. Obviously a big, big picture situation. He's not scoring. He's probably not going to score very much for the rest of his career. I guess I heard pregame was pretty interesting. Just saying the words, he's a little less athletically. Of course he is. He's 36, but that affects him more than anything on offense, in my opinion. He just doesn't have that turn-the-corner ability. He doesn't have some of the things you really need to when defenses are not guarding you, which Ty Lue is going to do, and he did tonight. I think he's a center. I know he's not a center size. I get pairing him with Post. If Post is making shots, that really can help. But if he's not, and if he's feeling a little timid, which he did tonight, if he can't really hold up against Zubac, which is going to be almost every night if it's a matchup like that, Draymond's a center. And, you know, Jimmy's the power forward. And that's how the offense can work when the other guys aren't doing it. And that's how they're leaning. It really does feel to me. I think at least half of Draymond's minutes are going to be at center now. And you try to work in Post and Horford, or maybe Horford. Al Horford, great NBA player over his time. And that might be over at this point. It does not look good. And this is 35 games into the season and looks terrible. I just think Draymond at center with Post, TJD, and Horford getting other minutes is the way this works, with Jimmy Butler playing most of the power forward minutes. What do you think about that?
Well, you're probably right, generally. I think when it comes to offense, you mentioned T. Lou is not going to guard him. That's not unique to Ty Lue.
No.
Every team is not guarding Draymond. They are daring him to shoot. You see defenders like Scottie Barnes in Toronto turn their backs, mm-hmm. like while Draymond has the ball at the top of the key, daring him to shoot. He's just got to hit them. He's got to hit 38%, 37% of them. He's got to keep taking them, you know? He likes to take them early in the games. You'll notice when he has his legs under him. He did that a few times tonight. One of them was really, really a poor shot selection. Did not like it at all. From the wing, contested when, like, you know you're going to get wide open looks whenever you want them. When it comes to, are you a center? Are you a power forward? No matter which position he's playing, the defense is going to treat him like that until he can make them pay for it. So the alignment positionally doesn't matter as much to me, but finding ways for him to be impactful on offense, you know, is the key. I thought he was really sharp tonight on offense. He had 12 assists. I don't even know if he turned it over at all. Maybe one or two turnovers. One turnover, 12 assists. You'll take that all day. I think when he's quarterbacking the defense and feeling confident, you know, he has the ball at the top of the key, running split action. I think that's pretty powerful, potent offense, making decisions in the short role. It's just a matter of what is he doing when he's not in those actions. Is he in the corner? Is he spotting up? Where is his defender when he's doing those things? Are they at the basket waiting for Steph or Jimmy? They've got to work around that. And the reason why he has the ball so much in the offense is because of that concern of what does he do when he doesn't have the ball and how does the defense react to that.
And he's always open because they're not guarding him. That's the other thing.
Right.
Or he's setting a screen and they're double teaming Steph and he's open on the, obviously on the roll or on the pop. And he's got to play with Steph. Like you cannot have Draymond out there when you don't have a super nuclear offensive player, and that's Steph. But they work well together. They worked really well in the fourth quarter. They need people cutting, and they need people reacting. GP2 and Santos were those guys tonight.
They are very good at that. They know where to be.
And, you know, again, I don't want to keep banging on Moses because, again, I don't think he had a bad game. But when they're in these one of these games – and he's just standing there, it's very noticeable. Will Richard was just standing. He's been a good cutter this year. He was just standing there. Pajemski was just kind of standing there because it's tough for him against Batum and Chris Dunn. You know, like those are not guys that Pods is going to be able to finish over or dribble through. They're hard for everyone to dribble through. He's not one of those players. But that's where you just see the void, right? You see what they're just one of those guys who can go run to the ball when their defense is sloughing off of them because they're double teaming Steph, get into the lane and finish. Moses has real trouble at that. Post obviously cannot do that. Horford cannot do that. They just need someone who can do that. One guy. And of course they thought it was going to be Schroeder last year and it did not work out that way. But Jimmy Butler did that. They need another Jimmy Butler now because they're just not getting the supplementary scoring. But, man, their defense was – I don't want to keep ripping. The defense was really good tonight. Dude, the defense has been good for a couple nights now. You know, I don't think we'll count the Oklahoma City game since nobody really played in that game as Oklahoma City, but they are a real defense.
The defense has been good all year. It's a top five defense.
Yep.
So that's a strong foundation to build on. You know, they feel like they're turning a corner and they're playing better basketball. And to be a better basketball team, they need to continue playing really good defense. They need to turn it over less. And they need to hit open shots. You know, they did two of those three things tonight, and it wasn't enough. But if you do that enough over the course of the next 50 games, you're going to have a pretty strong record. When you talk about the guys who are kind of just standing there and the guys who know when to cut, when you think about how bifurcated the bench units are, it's Steph and Draymond and Jimmy and shooting. Steph and Draymond, I like the guys who can cut. The Gui Santoses, the Gary Paytons, maybe Paz can fit in there. Jimmy, you need guys who can spot up. It's Post, it's Horford, Will Richard, Melton, it's Moody. Like, they aren't going to cut off him as much, but that's okay because he's ISOing, he's bringing a double team, swing, swing, wide open three. You just got to hit him. So I think they have, like, they have an amalgamation of guard wing players that fit into one really, really good player, but that's not, you know, that's not reality. So you have to mix and match based on your personnel. And I think they're getting closer to that, honestly.
Wow, bright and sunny. Listen, they're not in terrible shape.
Again, they're 7-12 in clutch games.
Yeah. And they have the ability to get better. I'll just keep saying, like, you just see Kuminga sitting there, and that's $23 million.
Yeah.
Of 22-year-old talent that they do not play and will not play. You got to turn that into something. I think that's gotten to the point. I don't think they can take this to the summer. Would you agree with that? Like, would take this to the summer and you're not getting better with that position?
For Jonathan Kuminga?
Yeah.
No.
I had to do a double. I like that. For Jonathan Kuminga, not Richard Kuminga.
No, yeah, they don't plan on taking it to the summer now. Nobody wants to
do it just to do it, or do you sit and wait and you try to make the perfect trade?
No, you can't wait for the perfect trade, I don't think. I think the earlier you do it, the better. The earlier you do it after January 15th, the better, because then you have more time to evaluate what you have before the deadline if you need to make another move. I think that's like a piece of the puzzle that is important. And yeah, I mean, you do it just to do it. I mean, right now you're getting zero. You're getting DNPs. So if you can get anything you got to do it.
Give me some names, Danny Emmerman.
Oh my goodness, too many names. You can read some names at the San Francisco Standard website. Nah, I think
it's a podcast here. We talk about these things. What do you got?
Minor upgrades, and not all of these players fit contract-wise, but like a Sam Hauser would play on this team. He can spot up around Jimmy Butler and hit threes. He's a career 40% shooter. He's a pretty good defender. He would play. You know, I kind of like Jay Huff, you know, on the Pacers. Center, can space it out, block shots. I think it's the highest block rate in the league right now. Pacers aren't trying to win. They are in a gap year of all gap years. They're going for the number one pick. Try to pick off that roster. I don't know if the Indiana Pacers are interested in Kuminga, but whatever. You wanted names, we can talk names.
Okay. Those are two interesting names.
Jeremy Grant on Portland.
Yeah, like, yeah.
He'd play. Yeah. He's
6'10". He would score those in the middle of the lane shots and then spot up in the corner.
He shoots threes.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one. I could really see that one. I don't know who's defending, but at some point you got to give up something, right? You got to give up something for someone who can give you 24 good minutes, maybe not 36, but 24. I was thinking CJ McCollum. I kept saying that one. He might be going off in the Trae Young stuff. But just as a guy, like, okay, let's get a guy who can help them for 3 months. Does it not have to be 3 years? And it won't be 3 years. It's 3 months. It's a lot to, you know, it's a big drop in value for what you thought Kuminga was. Kuminga does not have that value, not in real terms right now. Like, it's just, you kind of have to be realistic. You're going to have to figure out where this goes, that does not lead to $23 million sitting on your bench doing nothing. And everyone knows he's doing nothing. I'm not in love with the Jay Huff one, because how many centers are you going to have on this roster? Maybe you parcel out a couple of them back to Indiana, but that gets a little bit overloaded. And they might want to keep him because they do need a center next year, right? They don't have another center on that team. But interesting. Hauser is a very interesting name. I could see that one. That's a big wing who can stick some shots.
Sellers might not want to make moves. They are three games out of first.
Yeah, that's another one. Exactly.
You know, without Jason Tatum.
I think you're shopping more Wizards, Charlotte, New Orleans, Sacramento is kind of where you're shopping. There are some players on those teams that could be interesting.
I will say when you talk about when the timing of it all, I think the closer they get to the deadline after January 15th, the less leverage they'll have. If they have any leverage to begin with, but I think teams will know, they'll understand the situation and how desperately they want to get some value for Kuminga. And if it gets to February 3rd, February 4th, and they haven't done anything yet, the price might go down. You know, if it's
going down daily, I think,
you know, the hope is to generate enough buzz, get enough teams with interest in him and play them off each other.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Brother.
Vivek, you listening? That's what they're going to do. Like, we'll make one more call. That's a good deal we got over here with Charlotte, but we'll make one more call to Vivek to see what he could give up. I don't even know what for sure they would want on Sacramento. I mean, Keon Ellis, but I don't know if he's available, and he's not really that guy anyway. DeRozan, I mentioned, again, older player. It's a one, you know, it's basically a rental. Malik Monk, you know, interesting scorer, but does he fit with the Warriors? A lot of different names that would work for Sacramento. I don't know exactly where it fit, and I don't know that Sacramento, where their interest level is in Kuminga right now, was obviously there in the summertime, but
who knows? I mean, it's Michael Porter Jr., it's Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, and that would be for Kuminga and a bunch of picks.
Yep. And how many picks did you want to do? Yeah, you are going to need those picks at some point.
Am I cosplaying GM? Because if I was, I would do it. I would give away all the picks. Those players would make a difference now, and down the line, you're going to stink anyways.
And or as fans say, they'll just sign for agents. They'll have no draft picks, but they'll just sign for agents. You kind of need the picks in order to either trade for better players at that point or draft.
This is the moment to trade for better players. Right.
Yeah,
now.
I think a couple of the draft picks could go. I would think I would criticize them if they got a chance to get Trey Murphy. I don't even know if they do. And they hold back for two. They won't put two picks in there. Then I'd say, listen, you're never going to have a situation like this. You're never going to have Steph Curry ever again. Look at what he can do. Look what he did tonight. What's two draft picks to give yourself a swinging chance to get into a sixth seed and make a run? 3-4, you're talking like, you know, these picks when they could be terrible and they could be the third pick or the fourth pick, might be the first pick. For some reason, I've just decided to draw the line at 2, but maybe it's 3. Maybe it's a swap at that point. For Trey Murphy, I'd really start thinking about it. I think he's the perfect fit. I think he would lift them. I really do. I think he would turn this team into – you know, at least a 5-6 level team. I don't know if they would get the 5 seed, but that kind of team that could, you know, at least as level, at least there with, you know, a struggling Timberwolves right now. And you'd feel you could play them head up. I don't think they can right now. But otherwise, you struggle along like this. Then the conversation begins, well, what are you going to do with Draymond at the end of the year, right? And I mean, we don't have to address it all here, but – you know, that
you bring me on Warriors plus minus. Yeah. You want to get all existential?
Yeah, we don't have to get that existential, but it is worth understanding that if you don't do something now, you might have to do a ton of stuff that you don't want to do in the summer because you're just not going to be good enough. Unless you think you can swing the big deal, and we know what that is. It's with the player they're coming up playing pretty soon. I don't think they're totally out of that one. I don't think they're likely. I just don't think they're totally out of that one.
I don't think so either.
I would not resist doing something now just to hold the pieces for the summertime for Giannis. But I also got to be in the back of my mind. I do not think they're out of that. And that would change the entire discussion for everything. And that would, how many picks you'd give up for Giannis? 14 of them? Can we give up 40 picks for Giannis? That would be a very interesting stuff. And he'd make it more interesting for you, Danny. There'd be all kinds of stuff going on. He'd be like dunking at the end of games and getting teams mad. And he'd be like all kinds of stuff. It'd be fun.
It would be fun. I got one question for you. Go, one last question. I'm here. I'm in the Intuit Dome. I'm not at home. You are somewhat of a sports broadcast connoisseur. What did you make of the Snoop Dogg performance tonight?
I actually watched it on the Warriors. I watched my guys on
it. You willingly watched the NBC Sports.
I know. I just got stuck on it. I was kind of doing other stuff, and I was just on the channel, and I just stayed on it. So I will admit I did that. And I go, and I did say, is Snoop, if I want to watch it with Snoop, am I going to even know what the score is? I only have the sound up to know how many fouls somebody's got and who was called for the foul. Literally, that's it. Who was that foul on? You do hear it on the broadcast. I probably should have listened to Snoop, but I did not. I did the Warriors broadcast.
You're a certified Fitz and Bookie guy.
pretty much. That's me. You can just put me up on that list whenever those guys are on. I like Clint, as we know. Glenn is really good. All of the comments shall be withheld from everything else. So I missed it. Sorry about that. I kind of realized it was happening, and I was just on the channel already. And then kind of lazy world. Like, I was on a channel, was looking at my 49er column that I'm writing for tomorrow, and that's what we did. And I actually made the 49er column a lot better while I was watching that game. I want to point that out. It was kind of loose, and I tightened it up, everybody. That's how this works, as my attention was going back and forth on this. But it's right now, it's Locked On Danny Emmerman. We will say goodbye from Danny Emmerman from the Intuit Dome. Way to go. Way to step in. Marcus has got figure skating. He just tells me now. So we might not have Marcus for a while, or in and out, and then he'll go to the Olympics and he will be gone. But Warriors Plus Minus will soldier on. Maybe we'll get some figure skating talk in there too. Maybe we'll get him from Milan. That'd be good stuff. All right, Danny, thanks so much for dropping in on this. Big help.
Yeah.
Big help. That's.
Thank you for having me. Sorry to disappoint. I'll never be MT.
Well, none of us will ever be MT, and sometimes, more than a few times, MT is not MT. All right, everybody, that's the show for today. Thanks so much.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.